Deleted. Good morning. We're delighted to welcome two groups of high school students. Berlin High School students, would they please stand? Thank you. You may be seated. Is it Agape?
Agape.
Oh, that's good. Would those students please stand? Thank you very much for coming also. You may be seated. The students are here with a program called Court with Class. And program is sponsored by the State Bar and this court. We invite students from around the state to come and join us for an oral argument. If the students come, they are given materials about the case and may do activities surrounding and involving that case. They come and they are invited to meet with a justice of this court after this second case and will be joined by students who were here earlier. The discussion at lunch is of the procedures of the court, not the substantive issues involved in the case, and everyone is invited to join the students. Well, let me introduce the court to you all. Starting on my far right is Justice Annette Ziegler. Next to her is an empty chair. Justice Prosser ordinarily sits there. He is not participating in this case, but he is the justice with whom the students will meet after the end of this case. To my immediate right is Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. I'm Shirley Abrahamson, the Chief Justice. To my left is Justice Patrick Crooks. To his left, Justice Patience Robinsack. And on the far left, Justice Michael Gableman. With those introductions made, I'll call our second and last case for today, 088P552CR, State versus Scott Jensen. Arguing on behalf of Mr. Jensen is Robert Friebert. Counsel?
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Robert Friebert. With me at counsel table is Ryan Stoll, and we represent Scott Jensen. In 2007, the legislature specified venue for the trial of certain criminal actions. Under Section 971.19.12, the legislature directed that three classes of crimes should be tried where the defendant resides. The first class was any person who was charged with a direct violation of the election laws, the ethic laws, or the lobbying regulation laws. This does not apply to Mr. Jensen, but the next two do. The second term was a public official charged with a crime involving official functions. The third category is a catch-all provision involving a prosecution of any person where the crime charge arises from or is in relation to any matter that involves election laws, ethic laws, or lobbying regulation laws. Mr. Jensen is awaiting trial on charges of misconduct in public office that directly arise from and relate to his official functions as a member of the assembly and involve elections and ethics laws.
Counsel, can there be a violation of 940? What is it? 46? Is that the 946.12.3? Can there be a violation of 946.12.3 that doesn't fall under chapters 11, 12, and 19?
Correct. Doesn't fall under those.
Is there? You claim that in this case, his violation is alleged to fall under one of those chapters.
No, not directly under one of those chapters. Those chapters were used in significant part to formulate the charge against him.
And I'm going to ask the same question to Mr. Blanchard. Can you have a violation of 946.12 sub 3 that will not be based on chapters 11, 12, and 19. Because the point of my question is, can you have a violation of 946.12.3, which is not based on these chapters and therefore does not fall under the venue provision?
Yes.
Guess what?
You can have a charge under 946.12.3, which does not
have
those statutes.
And what did the complaint here say? Did the complaint say that it's in a violation of 11, 12, and 19, or in relation to, if it didn't refer to 11, 12, 19, the reference was made, so you knew it was 11, 12, or 19.
Did the complaints or the information say that? No.
So then how does the DA, when he brings the complaint or information, or the defendant know that they're going to fall under the venue statute?
So they're going to know because of the way this case was put together.
Well, I know about this case, Mr. Friedberg, but I'm worried about the next case.
Well, the next case, if it involves, first of all, under the second part, official functions, that certainly includes any part of misconduct in public office. Under the third part, which I believe is what your question is, whether it involves these statutes is going to depend upon the kind of evidence that's put together, as in this case, to show what the official duties were under paren 3.
Well, you're not telling me that any violation of an official function of the officer falls under this venue provision, are you?
Yes, under second part, says official functions.
So anything that comes under 946.12 sub 3 is going to come under the second part?
Yes, it will. It's an official function, and that's what the statute says. It says, for a violation of any other law, meaning not the election laws, not the lobbying regulation laws, not the ethics laws, a violation of any other laws arising from or in relation to the official functions of the subject of the investigation. The answer
and
is yes.
And then brings us into subject of investigation.
Yes. The subject of the investigation is the person who is being charged and who has been investigated, which is, in this case, Scott Jensen. So the answer to the question is, would any public function come under Part 2? If by its very words, official functions, the answer is yes, it would come under Part 2. And in addition to that, 946.12 are all official function charges.
So the answer to the Chief's question as to, threshold question, as to whether or not there can be a violation of 946.12.3 that does not come under 971.19.12. I thought I heard you initially say, yes, there can be a violation of misconduct in office that would not come under sub 12 of 971. But doesn't your interpretation now of 971 suggest that since they're all official functions, it would come under?
It would come under the second part. I was addressing the question under the third part, which is what the Chief Justice, I believe, was asking.
I did. Okay, thank you. And you addressed it in the manner in which I thought you would respond.
As I stated, Mr. Jensen is awaiting trial on the charges of misconduct in public office that directly relate to his official functions as a member of the Assembly and involve the election and ethics laws. The legislature, in enacting this law, stated specifically its reasons for directing such trials to be heard where the defendant resides, and it's codified at 801.64. That statute states that these offenses are violations of the public trust that should be adjudicated in the county where the offender resides.
Mr. Freebert, if I might, let me interrupt for just a moment and ask you about the section that you were just having a discussion with the chief and with Justice Bradley. The official function of the subject of the investigation is the language that I'm zeroing in on. And it's my understanding that the opposing side here has said, well, that has to be an investigation by the Government Accountability Board. What's your response to that argument?
Yes. First of all, the statute doesn't say an investigation by the Government Accountability Board. And we do not believe the court should add terms to the statute. The most closely aligned statute is the District Attorney Statute 978.05(1), which uses the exact same language as the venue statute, and it says there that the sole prosecutor is the local district attorney. So subject of the investigation, when you look at the district attorney's role, the venue statute, and the GAB statute, means any investigation by anybody. And if it doesn't mean that, there are two problems with that different conclusion. The first problem is the result would be nonsensical and we believe absurd, because there would be, for the exact same violation or charge, the venue rights would be determined by who brings the charge. If it's a district attorney who's not the local district attorney, as opposed to the GAB, it's in the county where the crime was committed. If it's GAB initiated, it's where the defendant resides. And we believe that's an absurd result, that the same charge would have two different venue provisions or two different venue rights, totally dependent upon how the charge was investigated. But beyond that, this interpretation that it means any defendant or anybody charged is comport with the specific intent of the legislature, which said that any violation of the public trust should be where the defendant resides. Now, having different venues really goes contrary to that stated intent of the legislature. And it seems inconceivable that the legislature intended, by that broad statement, that the trial should take place where the public trust was there, violated by the residence of the defendant, to say, well, maybe only if the GAB does the investigation, but if it's an investigation by a district attorney, then not. That would do violence to the stated intent of the legislature.
What import is there to the Wisconsin Legislative Council memo that in describing, prepared by Don Dyke, Chief of Legal Services, February 26, 2007, in describing what Act 1, 2007 does, it indicates subject of an investigation of the GAB.
Yes. Well.
So what import? Obviously, you're going to say it's not important, but my question is, why is that not important?
Well, the Legislative Reference Bureau?
The Leg Council memo that in interpreting or describing what 2007 Wisconsin Act 1 does, it indicates in general under the Act, a Wisconsin resident must be criminally or civilly prosecuted in the county of residence for violations of laws relating to election campaigns, finance, lobbying, or ethics, to the official functions of the subject of an investigation of the GAB, or to any matter involving elections, campaign, finance, lobbying, regulations, or ethics. So it hits those three clauses, if you will.
I would say on that point that it's incorrect. The legislature did not say subject to an investigation of the GAB. And that result, when you look at the powers of the district attorney, doesn't make much sense either, because it's saying that the district attorney can prosecute for direct violations. By the way, everybody agrees the district attorneys and the GAB have mutual jurisdiction over much of these matters, but with respect to the first point, a direct violation of the law, district attorneys can prosecute without any effort by the GAB. With respect to the third provision relating to any of these laws, the district attorney has sole jurisdiction to prosecute without any involvement by the GAB. It doesn't make any sense that with respect to the second part, where the district attorney has sole jurisdiction to prosecute, that has to await a GAB determination in order to prosecute. Indeed, that type of reasoning led the circuit court in this case to come to the rather remarkable conclusion that the district attorney could not prosecute unless and until there was a referral by the GAB, a position nobody agrees with here. But it's a logical result when you say that this means an investigation by subject to a GAB investigation. It seems to run counter to that, and there doesn't seem to have any reason for that. But more importantly than that this runs totally contrary to the express legislative intent that these cases should be tried where the defendant resides. And since the legislature made that very specific statement...
Where do you find that, Mr. Friedman?
That is found at 801.64.
Yeah, but 801.64 has the same issue that the rest of the statute has. 801 does not tell us what offenses come within this statute. 801 says the legislature finds that violations of offenses covered by 2007 Wisconsin Act 1 are violations of public trust, etc. But the issue in this case is this offense covered by 2007 Wisconsin Act 1? So I don't see where the legislative findings, which are always good to have and which I think the court should look at, I don't see it helps you.
I consider the question a chicken-egg question. What rules over what? What comes first? I believe that the legislative findings should inform the interpretation of the venue statute and not the other way around.
Well, if you do that, then I hear you saying that if there's a violation of public trust, venue in the place of residence. Is that your argument?
Under the second section, yes.
Well, you don't need anything then. You don't need 1, 2, and 3. You could have just drafted a statute that said any public official's violation of public trust, wherever that statute may be, venue is where the...
This venue statute doesn't just apply to public officials. It's broader than that. And one, as I indicated, you can have under sub 2 a violation of the public trust which does not involve the election laws or the ethics laws or the lobbying regulation laws. A good example would be bribery, which would not involve any of those.
You have to have an official function under 2.
It's an official function. Bribery would be an official function, which would be highly unlikely that would involve the election or any of those laws which are looked at by the GAB. And that's why 2 is at least a catch-all for public officials. It's saying, and it's right within the heartland of the purpose stated by the legislature. And I'd actually come back to the chief's question, and that is, I really think when the legislature makes a statement as broad as this as to what they're trying to do, that ought to inform the interpretation of the venue statute instead of the venue statutes kind of handcuffing the policy statement made by the legislature. I think it should be the other way around, and I think that's what the legislature intended to do. They were stating a broad principle that these crimes should be tried where the defendant resides.
Mr. Freeberg, let me ask you a practical question. If we were to find your way in this case, does that mean that the district attorney, Mr. Blanchard, could not prosecute this case?
Not necessarily. The district attorney in Waukesha has all of his or her, it's his, authority to ask for assistance and ask the court for assistance and could ask for Mr. Blanchard, or this case was significantly prosecuted by members of the Attorney General's staff, and typically in major cases, district attorneys ask for assistance from the Attorney General. So the answer to your question is not necessarily. It would be up to the district attorney of Waukesha.
So we have a Dane County judge try it and a Dane County prosecutor and use a Waukesha County jury?
No, under the statute, it would be a Waukesha judge. And
judge has to handle it, can't recuse himself or herself?
Oh, I guess that could happen. I'm sorry. There could be a recusal. The judges, of course, could still recuse themselves. But at least it starts out with a Waukesha judge in a standard operating business. It would have to be the Circuit Court of Waukesha County, because that's what the venue statute says, shall be tried in the Circuit Court where the defendant resides. That, in this case, would be the Waukesha Circuit Court. And if a judge were to recuse herself or himself, whoever came in would be a circuit judge for Waukesha County.
Or a judge who's assigned to Waukesha County.
Yes.
Even they're not a Waukesha County judge.
Yes, if that's how the process plays out, yes. That, all of that could happen. But the jury would be from Waukesha, and the trial would be from Waukesha. The prosecutor could bring in Mr. Blanchard or bring in the Attorney General or both if he wanted to.
I thought I read that the DA in Waukesha County said that he would have Mr. Blanchard try the case. Is that true?
I don't know that.
Okay.
But he has that. He can ask a court to appoint other persons to assist in the prosecution, and can ask, just like Mr. Blanchard asked, for the Attorney General to assist. And the Attorney General's office is still there and can come and assist in Waukesha County just as easily as Dane. I would like to address the third part, which we just discussed not very long. This is a catch-all provision. This part should be read in conjunction, we believe, with the first part. The first part applies to direct violations of the election, ethics, or lobbying regulation laws. The third part casts a broad net to apply to any charge, and uses all these broad words, any, involving, related to, broad catch-all language, which this court has recognized over and over again, is the type of catch-all language to catch all. Any charge which concerns a violation of any other law, arising from or in relation in any manner that involves elections, ethics, or lobbying regulation under the election laws, the ethics laws, or the lobbying regulation laws. Now, this venue, third part, establishes the same venue rights whenever the election ethics or lobbying regulation laws are used to charge a different crime. That's what it says. That is what we have here. The election and ethics laws were used to charge misconduct in public office. No one really contests that the charge here is in relation to the election laws and the ethics laws. And that's because a critical element of the conduct charge, misconduct in public office, is whether Mr. Jensen exercised a discretionary power in a manner inconsistent with his duties as an officer. The election laws and the ethics laws were used extensively by both the state and the Court of Appeals to establish the duties the state claims were violated. And indeed, the very lead-off witness in the original trial was Kevin Kennedy, who at the time was the head of the state elections or chief staff. The most straightforward reading of the third part of this statute, which comports with its text and history, is the one consistently advanced by Jensen. The statute broadly applies to a violation of any other law in relation to any matter that involves the election laws, a violation of any other law that arises from or is in relation to any matter that involves the ethics laws. But if the court should consider this ambiguous, there's only really one piece that we've been able to find of legislative history with respect to the third part of the statute, and that is the LRB commentary. And it supports the position.
Is that your reply brief?
Pardon?
Is that what you have?
It is in our reply brief, and we've attached it at the
back. What particular sentences are you relying on, counsel?
It's attached to our reply brief, and it's on page numbered 7, not actual page 7. And just before advisory opinions, states, the bill also provides that violation of any civil or criminal laws by a resident of the state arising from or in relation to the official functions of the subject of the investigation or any matter that involves elections, ethics, or lobbying regulation laws shall be prosecuted in circuit court for the county where the defendant resides. The point of it is that the lower courts have emphasized that somehow the word regulation defined this charge or this what this section meant. And this clearly shows that lobbying regulation is a term of legislative art, a term which is defined in the statutes as regulation of lobbying, and that regulation doesn't mean that in any way defined elections or ethics. It says elections, ethics, or lobbying regulation laws, and that supports our interpretation, which is that any violation or charge which is in any way related to election laws or to lobbying regulation laws or to ethics laws shall be tried where the defendant resides. So, one other point on that, the GAB, you know, agency creates regulations. They create rules. The legislature certainly knows that. And the proposition that somehow this provision is a protection of the GAB from interference with its regulatory authority is remarkable because, frankly, we haven't been able to find a crime like that. So if there is such a crime, I don't know what it is, and it hasn't been presented in the briefs, it would make this section meaningless unless it has the interpretation which we advance.
District Attorney's brief has a lot of examples. You sat down, Mr. Freeber. Would you rise again? Sorry.
Oh,
no problem.
My red light was on.
I know, but you
and I sat down.
I know, and I was
That's
looking down.
To do.
That's what you're supposed to do. District Attorney's brief has a lot of examples that say your interpretation of the statutes under those examples would make prosecution very difficult. Most of those examples, as I remember them, dealt with more than one defendant, and that you'd be prosecuting yes. co-defendants. What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, we think that those hypotheticals should be ignored. The legislature was fully aware that there could be different venues because of what they were passing, and they passed this law anyways. And it is the policy of the that the legislature made that determines what the policy of the state is. And generally, with these kind of what I call parade of horribles or hypotheticals, if that's a concern to the prosecutorial branch of government, they can take that to the legislature and ask them to change the policy. The legislature went into this with eyes wide open. Indeed, the district attorney did present these arguments very clearly and directly to the legislature, and they were rejected.
Counsel, 5 minutes in rebuttal. Mr. Blanchard, representing the state of Wisconsin.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Brian Blanchard, Dane County District Attorney representing the state in this case. In passing Act 1, the legislature not only created the Government Accountability Board, it delegated specifically to that agency a set of specific statutes for it to administer, for it to regulate. It gave it rulemaking authority under Chapter 227, and it identified three circumstances in which the new venue provision would operate. One, as counsel says, not at issue would be direct violations of those specified statutes. The other two are linked to conduct of the GAB. The first being a case in which there's a criminal case involving official functions of a state official, and it reaches only those cases, though, where that person has been subject to a GAB investigation. The third category is also explicitly linked to the GAB, and there needs to be a matter that involved regulation by the GAB. The word regulation is inserted there for a reason, and it has that purpose. Your Honor, you can see this from the text of the language. If you look at 971.19, is venue for district attorneys. And if you go through there, Sub 3, for example, sometimes much discussed by DAs, it's the quarter-mile rule. If you're within a quarter-mile of the boundary between counties, you can be prosecuted in either of the two counties. What word is used in that subprovision? Defendant. Sub 4, the traveling crime. You're in a vehicle that goes through multiple counties. Multiple DAs could prosecute you. Where you commenced, a middle county, your ending county. What's the word used there? Defendant. Homicide. Where the homicide, where an act committing the homicide starts, where the body is found, either of those counties. Mr. Freeberg complains that it's irrational and not applicable to have multiple potential prosecutors, but we already have that in Wisconsin. We have multiple potential prosecutors all the time. But when you get to 12, and I think this is the real important crux here, Your Honors, it doesn't say defendant.
You're it talking says about sub 2?
It's sub 12, Your Honor, of 9.
No, the second phrase. Is that what you're talking about?
It refers to subject of the investigation. It doesn't say defendant. And defendant is the word throughout 971.19. The text, Your Honors, if you go to 978.05, duties of the district attorney, the defense, in its briefs, and I didn't think again today, emphasizes that nowhere in 971.19 sub 12 is the GAB referred to. But look at 978.05. It explicitly refers to the GAB not only in sub 1, which is crimes, but sub 2, which is forfeitures. In other words, if you were on a desert island and all you had was 978.05 and you want to know the duties of the district attorney and where he or she could operate, you would see explicit reference to the Government Accountability Board in 978.05. This completely undermines the position of the defendant that 978.05 is somehow a completely separate standalone statute that has nothing to do with the operation of GAB. And, you know, Chief Justice Abramson alluded to a note of the Wisconsin Legislative Council about being subject to investigation. And, Your Honor, I would point directly to 5.05 sub 2M sub A. This is the statute itself. This is Act 1 itself. Prosecution of criminal violations investigated by the board may be brought only as provided in 5.05, various subsections, and 978.051. That text tells you, tells the world, tells this court in analyzing this, that there is presents here some freestanding legislative act. Instead, the structure of 5.05 and Act 1 in general directs you to consider it as a GAB-related provision. The venue provision is not standalone, as they say.
Can the DA investigate and charge without the GAB for a violation of Chapters 5 to 12, Subchapter 13, Subchapter 19?
Can investigate, yes, Your Honor, though the state acknowledges that a DA bringing a direct violation of the specified statutes would fall under one. That would definitely be a new venue case if brought by a district attorney. Same, too, under sub 2, the state has acknowledged in its briefs that were this case brought today, had Mr. Jensen been subject to investigation by the GAB, it would have fallen, Mr. Jensen's case would fall within the venue provision. And same, too, on 1 and 2 would apply to the Jensen case.
Why 2?
1 and 2 would apply, if to the extent direct violations were charged.
Got it.
And Mr. Jensen is already convicted of one such. That's not at issue anymore.
That wasn't appealed.
Excuse me? That was not appealed.
Conviction. Okay, go ahead. Why would he now fall under sub 2 and get a venue in Waukesha?
Yes.
Why?
I'm sorry.
Why, if you investigated him now?
Yes.
Would he fall under sub 2 when the GAB hasn't investigated him?
I'm sorry. I was assuming, and I wasn't clear perhaps, Your Honor, if there were a GAB investigation.
No, but there isn't.
There had not been.
My question is, you can investigate him now, or another person, right? And not with the GAB. And I want to know where the venue would be. Under sub 1 of 12, you're saying it would be in Waukesha County if you investigated without the GAB.
If I take your question, Your Honor, to be a 946.12 misconduct in office charge,
right,
not previously investigated by the GAB,
right,
that my position would be no. Traditional, the venue that has governed Wisconsin since its founding and the United States in almost every single context, the place of crime to jurisdiction venue would still apply.
Because under sub 2, your position is subject of the investigation means GAB investigation.
And that is correct, Ron. That's what Chapter 5 clearly states, and that is clearly the intent of the legislature in enacting both 971.19 sub 12 and the corresponding 978.05.
Counselor, why would the legislature want to have the venue be in two different places depending upon who did the investigation that resulted in charges?
Yes, Your Honor, and I think there is a logic to it. District attorneys, as you know, operate on a countywide basis. And in fact, in a number of counties in Wisconsin, there's only one person called the district attorney. And if they're in, let's just say, Crawford County, and the alleged offense is in Dane County or Jefferson County, it's a world of difference, Your Honor, for a district attorney to be presented with a case that's already been investigated, at least to some point, at whatever point they reached, before he or she gets that case. In contrast, the Crawford County DA every day gets up and prosecutes Crawford County cases. Suddenly, when presented with a county where the conduct, the evidence, the gravamen of the offense is in another county, it would make sense to have that difference. We have GAB cases that have been evaluated, at least at some level. And a critical part of the analysis, Your Honor, is that investigation is a term of art in the statute. Subject of investigation doesn't just mean someone submitted a complaint, or there's an article in a newspaper, or there's some free-floating allegation. There has to have been a finding of, I believe it's reasonable suspicion is the phrase, and a vote by the GAB. We are now going to investigate. There's a moment at which they're not yet investigating, and then there's a moment at which they are investigating. That sets in motion. So there's in other words, Your Honor, that means that something is of substance is happening at the GAB. They are really looking at this thing. They've decided as a board to pursue it. That case, once the GAB has invested investigative resources, if you will, whether it's through a special investigator or not, they have options, is different when presented to the Crawford County DA. And I think an important feature of this, Your Honor, in this real-world aspect is the statute provides only 60 days for the district attorney to have filed charges in a case to distinguish between those referred by the GAB and one originating with a district attorney. So I ask you 60 days to file charges, and these would be reasonably serious cases, not just a retail theft or disorderly conduct case. That would make a lot more sense if you had an investigation by a statewide agency called the Government Accountability Board. You're a district attorney in a county, you've been presented with this. That is quite different than you either initiating or having learning in your county of a police officer allegedly took a bribe or the other kind of...
Well, essentially it's a convenience for the district attorneys to have the matter in the county where they work rather than in an adjacent county or a county that's several counties away.
Right, and the logic, Your Honor, I believe, of having there be a distinction on the venue is that having a GAB investigation puts the district attorney much further down the road for resolving the case. Whichever way the district attorney is going to go with the case, it puts the district attorney, and that's a logic that is supported by that difference.
How does the convenience of the district attorney square with the stated purpose of the venue statute, which is to give the people who elected this particular official the opportunity to judge him?
These are competing interests, Your Honor, and I would acknowledge we don't disagree with the defense that the stated purpose, as far as it goes, does state a preference for public trust violation cases to be tried in county of residence. It's a very short statement. It essentially simply says that, gives a rationale. It does not solve this issue. In other words, it explicitly refers to, as to those cases covered by Act 1, go ahead and do it. But that doesn't tell you which cases are covered by Act 1 and the text of Act 1.
No, I was just trying to square your reason why the legislature would have meant what you are arguing that it meant, and I was trying to square that with the legislator's statement of policy when they passed this act, which certainly doesn't focus on the convenience of the district attorney.
Well, Your Honor, the statement of policy is not all in one direction. It does say in its final sentence, the legislature finds the venue provision in 207, Wisconsin Act 1, represents an appropriate balance between the rights of the defendant and the need to prevent and prosecute civil and criminal offenses covered by the act. So it doesn't all just say, it's only pushing in one direction. It's talking about a balance.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Blanchard, earlier you talked about a legislative council memo. Mr. Freebird has cited us to a Legislative Reference Bureau memo. They seem to be somewhat contrary one to the other. Do you have a suggestion as to how we should resolve that conflict?
Your Honor, the state submits that the Legislative Council, the Legislative Reference Bureau reference to lobbying regulation laws is a misinterpretation and doesn't square with the other textual language. It is an insertion of a word that's not there. In their briefing, Your Honors, the defense attempts to read, if you will, the language to have the word election, ethics, and lobbying modifying the specified statutes. And I just submit, with all due respect, that it doesn't scan, that the English doesn't match up. The logic of the wording is that the word regulation modifies those prior words. That is the most logical reading of those words, and there is a logic to that. Your Honor, if you look at 5.06 addresses the administrative aspects of the administrative power of the GAB. These are extremely important. The Government Accountability Board has the responsibility of keeping, for example, the entire electronic statewide list of all registered voters in the state of Wisconsin. That is a very important responsibility. It's among its many duties. That's found in 6.36. What happens in 5.06, Your Honors, is that under Chapter 227, and consistent with the balance of Act 1, the GAB has the authority and power to very broadly to essentially intervene if anyone is looking for language here. Is in any way interfering with the election administration or conduct of elections. This is in 5.061. The board can do this on its own motion. It can take complaints. And then if you compare that to what's the content of Chapter 5, Chapter 6, Chapter 7, the various statutes and chapters that are listed here, the GAB has significant and serious detailed administrative responsibilities that reach down to every polling place in the state of Wisconsin. That is a regulatory scheme, and that is one in which violations of Chapter 943 and 946 can easily arise. Most obviously, misconduct in office, 946-12, but not only. You can have violations that could include essentially theft, violations of 943. You can have violations of, there's bribery in 946, crimes against the government. These are, so in answer to the early question of Chief Justice Abramson, yes, you absolutely could have misconduct in office charges that are not aligned in any way with Chapters 11, 12, 19. But under the defendant's reading of this venue statute, essentially the legislature meant any time any official, they're sort of endless, and there's no reason, by the way, for a 3 if you have a 2 under their reading, no reason for a 2 if you have a 3 under their reading. They read 2 and 3 are essentially limitless. If you have a public official out there who's charged with a crime, then venue has been changed and altered, and the legislature could have done that much more easily with fewer words.
Yeah, maybe, but legislature sometimes doesn't.
I'm sorry?
Sometimes the legislature doesn't use fewer words to say the same thing. Now, as I see sub 2, does that only go to officers and employees?
It goes, Your Honor, and I think this does go to the state's argument, it goes to anyone who's been the subject of an investigation.
Well, it says relation to the official functions.
So, the subject of the investigation. So, yes, it has to be their official duties. Misconduct in office also has similar phraseology.
Yeah, but I think you gave an example of a corporation or a business violating an election law, right?
Right.
Would it come under 2?
For example, corporate contributions or
something. Right. Would it come under sub 2?
If investigated by the GAB, yes, it could. Well, any other law is quite broad.
Yeah, but it says official functions. What's the official function of a corporation giving an illegal contribution?
It would depend on the details. I guess I can imagine one in which it wouldn't and one in which it would. You're right. It would have to involve official functions of a subject of an investigation.
Yeah, but it would fit under 3, wouldn't it? If we were dealing with a corporation and involved a violation of a campaign finance law, wouldn't it fit under 3?
But it depends. This GAB jurisdiction does reach candidates for office, importantly, the election function. So if there were, for example, knowing, complicit, and again, criminal, this all we're talking about today is something that somehow reaches the criminal level, And the state acknowledges that any other law arising from or in relation to is a very broad set of expanding phrases. So I think there are hypotheticals, absolutely, that where a knowing intentional receipt of a corporate contribution could relate to official functions of a subject of investigation, but it might not.
Mm-hmm.
The
but your point is if you interpret 2 too broadly, you don't need 3.
That is a part of the state's argument, Your Honor.
And if you interpret 3 too broadly, you probably don't need 2.
That is also true, Your Honor. There's really, the state's position is that there's really no limit to 3 if you read the word regulation defendants do to only modify lobbying.
I have a little trouble with the word regulation, partly because the GAB makes rules, that's one thing. A tool, usually a violation of an administrative rule is not a crime. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, you are not wrong about that. Now, it is true that some of, in Chapter 13, sometimes the legislature says, for example, under 13.69 sub 2, any lobbyist violating 1361 to 1368, which is the guts of the lobbying code, or a rule of the board promulgated under such sections, that's a forfeiture. If you file a false statement, 13.69 sub 6M, that is a felony. The rules can be relevant to a criminal charge. And in this case, Your Honor, the rules were relevant, the Court of Appeals on multiple occasions found, to the charge here, 946.12 sub 3, that the sources of authority for the duty that the defendant, the state alleged the defendant had, could be found by reference to 11, 12, and 19, those chapters, but also to other sources. It cited opinions of the Ethics Board. It cited legislative materials themselves. So the defendant's argument that it's all bound up and there's only one, that what was found here by the Court of Appeals was a violation of 11, 12, and 19 is not accurate.
Do you agree with the defendant that you could have a violation of 946.12 sub 3 that does not involve elections, ethics, or lobbying?
Absolutely. Okay. A police officer takes a bribe, for example.
So what? So you'd have to look at the complaint to know if a complaint under 946.12.3 relates to elections, ethics, or lobbying, right?
I'm sorry, I lost the thread of the question.
946.12(3) is broader than elections, ethics, and lobbying.
I would say it's different. It can include that as sort of the raw material, yes.
Or not.
Or not.
It need not include that.
Right.
And so in that sense, it doesn't look as if it's any matter that involves elections, ethics, or lobbying regulation under those chapters, because on the face of it, 946.12.3 doesn't relate necessarily.
It may not, though the state would acknowledge that the sub 2 venue here, that any other law could be 946.12. The state
right.
Analysis of that.
And that's why, and I'm going to ask Mr. Freebert this, it seemed to me that his reliance on sub 2, I could say sub 2, the second issue, is stronger than his reliance on 3. Because what you get into when you get to 3 is some from 946.12 fit, some do not. And that raises problems of how the DA is going to know whether to come in, which venue to choose.
And all of the
evidence. Because you won't know necessarily until after all the evidence is in.
Well, Your Honor, there has to be line drawing under any reading of the rules. There has to be gatekeeping by judges at the trial court, of course, at the front end. On venue questions, that's already true. If you have some dispute about venue, the trial courts. So either way, of course, the trial courts are going to have to interpret.
What did the complaint or information say here?
What
did the information say here? Did the information say that it's a violation of 946.12.3 involving elections, ethics, or lobbying?
It did not. There were references in the complaint to various rules, including legislative materials, emails circulating the legislature. This actually was reflecting the criminal complaint and certainly was bound up in the proof at trial reference to, as counsel says, Kevin Kennedy giving context to the jury. Yes, it was the raw material, but the Court of Appeals was quite clear that the what's charged here was not merely a violation of Chapter 12, Chapter 11, whichever. It was its own crime, 946.12 sub 3, as violated in this manner.
So didn't you allege violations of 939.05, 946.12 sub 3, 19.45.2, and 19.58.1 in the criminal complaint?
We did, Your Honor. In fact, he stands convicted of a violation of 19.45.2. That's not an issue, though, because that is not a pending charge.
I understand that, but we're trying to look at whether or not the violation of 946.13.3 would have included any other charges that might fall within the venue statute, aren't we?
Actually, though, Your Honor, the state's position, as I say, is that if previously investigated by the GAB, the state would lose. So we're actually not disputing that any other law, even in this case, could be 946.12.3. We acknowledge that, actually.
Okay. So what you're really just saying is that because this was never investigated by the GAB, end of story, the venue statute doesn't apply.
End of story on two. And one's not an issue, and on three, it doesn't involve the regulation by the GAB.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. What happens when you have in the same information, a complaint, several offenses, some of which would fall under 971.19 and some of which don't? So the venues are different.
I think there would be intense severance issues that the trial court would have to sort out. I do think that would present a very awkward, troublesome, and uneconomical approach. And in response to the defendant's statement, well, the state just doesn't like that, we need to defer to the legislature, the state's position is that in interpreting this, we shouldn't assume legislative intent to bog down the system with multiple trials in multiple locations. We should assume a common sense, pro-justice, if you will, approach by the legislature, which is one that was operating not in a vacuum, but with the entire history of the state of Wisconsin using place of crime venue for crimes. They made a change, but we shouldn't assume that they made the broadest possible change. They used very specific language in making that change.
Your comments make me think of the last page of the reply brief of your opposing counsel that raises the issue. Notably, the Dane County District Attorney unsuccessfully advanced the same policy arguments, an alleged parade of horribles in opposition to the legislation. Brian Blanchard said, don't alter trial venue law for public officials. And then the brief goes on to state, this is not the forum in which to revisit such policy disputes. It makes it sound like you were in opposition to the legislation that is kind of a broad interpretation of the legislation, the same kind of opposition that you're here. Can you respond to that?
While it's not a record, I'm happy to, Your Honor. It's accurate that I, as a district attorney, and perhaps to extent as a citizen, took a position with the legislature as to a preference on venue that I think is really of no matter to the legal issues before the court. The same, I would say this, though. The same reasons that I took that position, I think are, those reasons overlap with the background of the overall criminal law, the way 971.19 is written, for example, the entire history of joinder in the state of Wisconsin and the preference for judicial economy. Those are some of the same points I was trying to raise in the legislature that I think are relevant to the legal analysis. As to me actually going to the Capitol and taking those positions, I think they're irrelevant to the court's decision today. For these reasons, Your Honor, the state submits that the Court of Appeals should be affirmed in its affirmance of the trial court because none of the three provisions apply to this case, the first not being in play. Each of the second two, though, explicitly being tied to conduct or activity of the GAB in the first case by investigating and in the second case by regulating its massive and critical functions of safeguarding the integrity of the electoral system and other duties in Wisconsin. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blanchard. Mr. Friedbert, you've got 5 minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you. I would like to address mostly the catch-all third provision. And the reason is that we've now heard an explanation of some kind of regulatory rules that the third section is supposed to help us with. However, what is cited are all contained within the first section. These are the enumerated statutes. Cites, he went to the lobbying regulation laws, which are already in the first section. We don't need three for that. It's already governed by the first section. Cited election administration and conduct of elections. Chapter 12, which is already a part of the GAB jurisdiction and already in the first section, covers all sorts of interference with electors on election day. All sorts of improprieties which may take place on election day. It's replete with that. So the fact remains, after all of these arguments, that there is nothing pointed to where the third section assists the GAB in any way in the administration of its laws. It's already got it in Section 1. So Section 3 is intended to expand the first section to cover any charge which involves these laws in its broad language. And you don't, Chief Justice Abramson, need a trial to know the answer to that. We found out in this case on a motion to dismiss. The criminal complaint in this case, as acknowledged, it goes on forever, is replete with references to campaigning on state time, or that's the allegation in the case. It's all over the criminal complaint. There was a motion to dismiss saying that you can't use the election laws or the ethics laws to cobble together a charge of misconduct in public office. That lost in the Court of Appeals, and it didn't survive an appeal to this court. You don't need a trial, and the district attorney making the charge will know it from the get-go whether he or she is dealing with these laws. They have to write a complaint, and the complaint is going to either deal with elections, it's either going to deal with lobbying, it's either regulation, it's either going to deal with ethics, or it is not. And if it does, it comes under the third section, and we don't have any other rationale for the third section other than the interpretation we give it. Otherwise, it means nothing. With respect to the question of no reason for three if you have two, I think we've had many examples here today of where, even though in this case we happen to overlap, that's not necessarily true in every case. Two is a broad spectrum of any improprieties which may or may not involve the election laws or the ethics laws. The third section is a focus on any use of those laws to parse it, pull it together, and create a different charge.
the very first thing I did when I was preparing for this is I read the statute. And I underlined the language subject of the investigation. And I wrote in, why did not say defendant? I don't write complete sentences to myself. What's your explanation as to what was meant, or why did they use the term subject of the investigation? It just seemed unusual, and I thought they would be using the word defendant.
Yes, as Chief Justice indicated, the legislative branch doesn't always do things the same way as lawyers do and in writing. But that language appears in mostly intertwined with the district attorney's powers. It also appears in the GAB statute. And I think what is trying to be said there is when you mate the district attorney's powers with the venue statute, it is saying that any investigation is the property, so to speak, of the solely of the district attorney where the defendant resides, and that's where the venue should be, that's the mating of it. I can't deny that it could have been clearer, but that's what they said. More importantly, it would be an absurd result to say that it means a GAB investigation for the reasons we've stated, that the venue is determined by who gets to the courthouse door first, the GAB or a district attorney. that's not what the legislature intended. It's inconceivable that that's what they intended in light of their very clear statement of purpose. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Friedrich. Thank you, Mr. Blanchard, for excellent arguments on interpreting a new statute. That concludes our hearing on 08AP552CR, State versus Scott R. Jensen. Justice Prosser will be out shortly to talk with those who wish to stay. The court is in recess until tomorrow morning, when it will hear its last case on the November schedule, and we'll meet it at 2 o'clock in closed conference. We are...